So you turn to Genesis chapter 35. We're looking at the life of Jacob, and it's on page 38 of the Pew Bibles. And we're going to be thinking about what Jacob experiences from God by way of healing, not physical healing, but healing in the sense of learning, of being made whole, of growing in God. I'd like you to ask yourself this. Can you think back on your life and think of one experience where you've learned something? Albert Einstein, in a quote that was up on the screen earlier, said this. He said that learning is experience. Everything else is just information. There's information that we receive. Maybe we can pass an exam with. Maybe we can impress other people with information. But there's actually learning that is transformation, learning that makes a difference to how we act or how we think. God transforms Jacob. Can you think of any experience that you won't share, but any experience has actually transformed you? Try if you can. If you can't, you won't really get what God's word is saying about Jacob. I'll just give a pause there so you can try and think of one experience where you deeply learned something that changed you. Okay, you might have got something. I am guessing, if you're like me, if you're like Jacob, what you're thinking of, if you've got something, your experience, could well be in one of three categories. Number one, I find I learn a lot when I'm in a place that's not familiar. I have learned a lot when I've gone abroad, for example. This is true for Jacob. We've seen in his life's journey, he's in many places where everything is unfamiliar. It's an environment that is rich in learning. Maybe your experience is one of those. Number two, it's sort of linked to this. Many of us learn transforming things when we're out of our depth, for whatever reason. First day in a new job, hopefully we're learning something pretty quick. First day on earth, steep learning curve. Any new experience is likely to be transformational. So I'm guessing, if you've been with me up to now and you've got one experience in your head, it's one of those. Or thirdly, it's where you made a mistake. Where you made a mistake. If your mind's a total blank of anything that's been transformational, think of a mistake you've made. You're not going to share it with anybody. And unless you're Jesus, there's got to be something there. Our mistakes can be our best teachers if we let them. This is true for Jacob, okay? Are you with me? Have you got something? One of the most amazing singers I know of, Edith Piaf, didn't know her personally, I'm not that old. She sings an amazing song, Non, je ne regrette rien. You know that song? Now, if she's talking about I'm not living in my regrets, I get what she means. But as a life philosophy, I don't regret anything. Pretty bonkers, really. I mean, if we've done nothing wrong that we don't regret, I merely ask the question, what have we learnt? It's a question. Learning is experience. Jacob has had many experiences. And we're going to see tonight that he's actually learnt from them. He has changed. Praise God. We are learners. We should be learners. The word disciple in the Greek actually literally means learner. We are called to not stop learning. Rachel's going to read Genesis 35 of where Jacob is at this point in his life, where he's actually putting into practice in small ways, as we do, things he's learnt. Thank you.
Then God said to Jacob, "Go up to Bethel and settle there, and build an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau." So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Get rid of the foreign gods who you have with you, and purify yourselves and change your clothes. Then come and let us go to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and who has been with me wherever I have gone." So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods they had, and the rings in their ears, and Jacob buried them under the oak at Shechem. Then they set out, and the terror of God fell upon the towns all around them, so that no one pursued them. Jacob and all the people with him came to Luz, that is Bethel, in the land of Canaan. There he built an altar, and he called the place El Bethel, because it was there that God revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died and was buried under the yoke below Bethel. So it was named Elon Bakuth. After Jacob returned from Paddan Aram, God appeared to him again and blessed him. God said to him, "Your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel." So he named him Israel. And God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will come from your body. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I also give to you. And I will give this land to your descendants after you." Then God went up from him at a place where he had talked with him. Jacob set up a stone pillar in that place where God had talked with him, and he poured out a drink offering on it. He also poured oil on it. Jacob called the place where God had talked with him Bethel.
Thank you. God has big purposes for Jacob, and he has for each of us, and he wants us to grow into these purposes as we learn. We've looked at stories of Jacob in the last weeks, if you've been here, experiences where he's been far from home, where he's been out of his depth and fears for his life. And we've seen experiences in which he makes mistakes and eventually learns from them. He certainly makes moral mistakes where he lives up to the name that he was given by his parents. Jacob actually means trickster or cunning one. His coping strategy was to live up to his name, to trick his way to success so often, and more than once it's backfired on him. But here's what Scripture says are the purposes God has for Jacob. It's also what it says that it has for you and for me. It says it in this verse, that we were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Key verse in Scripture. And the reason we're looking at Jacob's life in these last weeks is because that's a declaration applying to each of us. And for these good works here to be fulfilled, there's some learning, there's some growing, there's some pruning to be done in every single person on earth. Not everybody's got Jacob's personality. For some, the pruning that needs is a lack of esteem, a sense of being disqualified, that we've messed up so much there could not possibly be any good works God has for us. And maybe that sense of shame inflicted by others, God wants to prune out of us. For Jacob, I'd suggest what God has been pruning out of him over the years is a sense of self-reliance, that it's through his trickery and his undeniable gifts that he has that he thinks that's his coping mechanism. His self-reliance needs to be pruned out of him. Does this make sense? Does this make sense? That there's a pruning work in every single one, not a comfortable, necessarily a comfortable one, but one that God wants to do so that this prophecy, if you like, spoken over every life, can be fulfilled. This is healing in the sense of wholeness, the deepest way. We're all of us on a journey. I'll tell you a story. I might have told it before. I'm like my dad. He always used to tell stories more than once. But anyway, it was the 2004 Sussex Cross Country Championships. And I'm running for Crawley, and it's the first chance in the club's history of winning the county championship. It was very pressurized. And to win the county championships, you need a team of six. If you've heard the story before, you'll know this. And we had five brilliant runners running for Crawley Athletic Club, five brilliant ones and me. But we had to finish with six. So I'm just passing our coach after 2 miles, and he calls out to me these immortal words. He says, "For God's sake, Vic." That's what he called me. Short for Vicar. He says, "For God's sake, Vic, run faster. It all depends on you." You see, it's burned on my brain, scarred. It all depends on you. It's one way to live. The reason I remember this, we did go on to win the championships, actually, but anyway, that's another story. The reason this is sort of burned on my brain is that this sums up a way to live that I've certainly lived, the way Jacob lived a lot of his life. You're running as fast as you can, but it's still not enough, and it all depends on you. When Jacob faced challenges before this story here, when he was far from home, when he was out of his depth, when he'd made mistakes, his thinking was this: it all depends on you. That was what he used to, that's how he used to live, yeah? But God has now given him a new name. He repeats it in this passage. If you've got it open, you can see it there. God is telling him his new name. Do you remember what it is? It's Israel. And he's told him this before. It's back a few chapters in Genesis chapter 32. If you know that story, it's where God, in the person of an angel, wrestles with Jacob. Do you remember that story? Do you know that? It's where he wrestles with him. And it's part of the pruning that Jacob is in. And at the end of that wrestling night, God gives Jacob a limp, so that he remembers, he's got this visual aid, this physical aid, that's a physical handicap, but it's a visual aid to remind him that it doesn't depend on him. He's got a limp. And he's given a new name, Israel. Now, Israel, commentators have continued to sort of battle. What does it mean? El means God. And nobody exactly knows what Israel means, but because it's got different meanings. One is this: God rules. The name that Jacob is given is that his life is meant to reflect the rule of God. It used to be that cunning and trickery reflected his life. That was his name, Jacob. God gives him a limp and a new name to say, from now on, if you're going to do the good works which you were created to do, you need to know that God rules in your life. But Israel also means, it's got the connotation of this, he struggles with God. He struggles with God as he did on that night. And you see, all of us, inevitably, we go through struggles and we struggle with God. God, where are you in this? Jacob is in a struggle right here. I won't go into the details, but if you read chapter 34, it's all in there. Basically, two of his sons have just followed their dad's example. They've tricked people they don't like. They've then killed them. And now the whole region is against Jacob and his family. And he is in big trouble. If you look at the last verse of chapter 34, Jacob's pulling his hair out and he says, oh, goodness, now I'm in big trouble. And up to now in his life, when it all depended on him, here's what he did. He worked out, how can I trick people out of this trouble? But he's been on a journey. Jacob has learned. He's got a new name. And what he does now in his trouble is to ask God, what should I do? We know this because God says to Jacob what he should do. How do we know what he says? Because Jacob heard it. And in verse 3, it says that Jacob is going to build an altar to God who answered me in the day of my distress, namely this day. He's changed from the one for whom it all depended on him to the one who knows that God rules, and he needs to struggle with God to find out how the rule of God wants to work itself out in his life. I used to go to Worth Abbey. It's a place on the edge of Crawley. I'd go to a Benedictine monk. He was called Father John. He was like my mentor or spiritual director. I'd go to him with all sorts of problems in my life, like merciless running coaches who'd tell me it all depended on me and stuff like this. Anyway, he'd always say to me, it's always the same question. Really frustrating, but very good for me. I learned a lot. He said, where do you think God is in the
gets there, there's all sorts of challenges facing him. But the reason that he builds an altar in that place, and you and I are called to build in our minds altars of where God has taught us something profound, and it's a learning experience. It's so that we never forget that our name is actually, all of us, Israel, and not Jacob. That we're called to go on this journey from where it all depends on you. For God's sake, run faster. where you're probably going to be this week in different environments where one way or another we're going to be told that, for God's sake, run faster, try harder, work more, do better. To a place where we're doing all of that with our efforts, but actually in the knowledge that God rules Israel. And we're called to struggle with all of the stuff going on in our life in the knowledge that Jacob comes to. The knowledge that Jacob comes to as he looks back on his life. It's in one of the verses in the passage that as he looked back on his life, he says and declares, "For you have always been with me." In the troubles. And if yours are in those three categories, when you've been abroad far from home, when you've been out of your depth, when you've messed up, as we all do at times, God has been in there helping us find a way out. But to build an altar, as it were, in each of those places, not to be same marooned in regret, stay marooned. You see, you have to learn from it. I finish with this, right across the land, probably across the world. There have been millions of sermons, probably, across the earth. Who knows? And probably most of them we sort of give assent to. Interesting. But the thing.
if you'd like to stand.
The edge of something new. Lead us on further than we've ever been before. With hands held high, be glorified. Our hearts now cry. We are living for the glory of the Lord. Hearts are open wide, we're ready for you. There's nothing we want more, you're all that we adore. Jesus, here we are, we're ready for you.
We want more.
For those who can stay in worship or who want to receive prayer for any way you need to ask God to